In God's Word, we read about many people who suffered disappointment and endured disappointment in their lives, and even some of them who overcame disappointment. And I'm not saying that Joseph, about whom we will study this morning, endured that more than anyone else, but he certainly did, and he is certainly a principal example of someone who did. We think about a young man who has gone from the pinnacle of promise and possibility to being put literally in a pit of persecution, and all of the other things that followed throughout his life. And yet, though he may have become discouraged, and it seems from time to time maybe that he did, he was frustrated, we know that for sure, from his own words. But a person who did not give up, and because of that, a person who most certainly overcame and was blessed of God because of that. We know that Joseph was at least 17 years old when he dreamed the dreams that caused him to be sold into slavery. And that's Genesis 37, verse 2 and verses 5 through 11. We also know from Genesis 41 and verse 46 that he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. And these are important numbers because it means there was a period of 13 years during which he was carried down into Egypt, served in Potiphar's house, and was placed in the king's prison. If you subtract 2 full years for the time that he was forgotten by the chief butler, which he was, and at least a year to thrive in prison and to grow to the place where he served, we're left with 10 years. It's impossible to know the way we reckon time exactly how this time was divided between Potiphar's house and the prison, but we're looking at roughly 10 years. We know that Joseph was 39 or 40 by the time he was fully reunited with his father. We know this because he was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh, as I mentioned before, Genesis 41, 46. There were 7 years of plenty that had been enjoyed in the land of Egypt before his father came. That's Genesis 41, 47, and 53. And then it was in the second year of famine that his father came down, Genesis 45 and verse 6. When you add it all together, Joseph was 39 or 40 when his father came there. The important thing I want to emphasize right here is that because of this, Joseph had 22 to 23 years to think about what his brothers had done to him. 22 to 23 years to become bitter, to develop hate, but he didn't. Benjamin was much younger than Joseph. There's no indication that he was involved in anything that happened to Joseph when he was sold into slavery. And he's not even mentioned until, again, the brothers would come down to buy grain in Egypt. Joseph was born to Rachel during Jacob's service to Laban. This is back in Genesis 30, verses 22 through 24. And then Benjamin was born to Rachel sometime after that, Genesis 35, 16 through 19. Rachel died during childbirth, of course, and it was the fact that Benjamin was a child of Joseph's old age, as was Joseph. But there was something special about Benjamin, and Jacob was especially attached to him because of Joseph. And Joseph had been the primary one, the one that he had loved, the one for whom he had made the coat of many colors. And he thought that Joseph was dead because of the lies of his brothers. Joseph is a great example of someone who does not allow themselves to be destroyed by disappointment and the discouragement that follows. We've gone through a lot of discouragement in the last few years. You may have gone through discouragement in your personal lives. We've gone through discouragement maybe in our national lives. We're thinking this week about the founding of our country, and we're grateful, thankful for the prayer that mentions the great country in which we live. In spite of all of her problems, she has a past of being a country that does good things for people. In spite of the corruption that we have seen, there are good people that are still trying to stand up and do what is right. Because of many people, in spite of many people who have given up, there are still people that want to take a stand and do what is right because it is right, and to make a difference in the world. Joseph was that kind of person. He became that kind of person. Let's look at his life this morning and see if there's some things about disappointment and how to deal with disappointment that we might gain from the example that God's Word gives us of this man named Joseph. In the first place, he was disappointed in his brothers. He was disappointed in their evil behavior. Genesis 37 and verse 12, his brethren went to feed their flocks, their father's flocks in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock?" And he goes on to go down to see them, and they were angry at Joseph. And Joseph had already given a report to their father, and they looked at him as a tattletale. And so they did not like the fact that he was coming to report on them. But when you read the entirety of Genesis chapter 37, what you observe is they were doing wicked things. And so the evil report that Joseph brought was well deserved. But again, they looked at him as a tattletale. But Jacob sent Joseph again to report on his brethren. Do you think it's because by this point in time, Jacob realized that Joseph was the only one he could trust? I mean, the boys lied about Joseph. The boys were out doing wicked things. They all except Reuben wanted to kill him. And then Judah went along because he thought there was something he could get out of the deal. That is by selling Joseph into Egyptian slavery, actually to the Midianites or the Ishmaelites, two names that describe the same people, descendants of Abraham. But it may be that Jacob thought, well, here's my son Joseph. I'm going to send him to get a report. He's here with me. I can send him. But he's maybe the only one that would tell him the truth. Because it seems that in the early years, Joseph was most definitely an honest man. Joseph was certainly disappointed in his brother's evil behavior. What kind of examples were they? They were his older brothers. They were supposed to show him the right way. You know, we have role models in our lives. We look up to people, and we look up to older brothers and older sisters. They've been there, done that. They have the experience they know, and we can learn from their mistakes, but we can learn by the way they handle their mistakes and the way they overcome their mistakes and the way they overcome temptation. But Joseph didn't have that in his brothers. He did not have them to look up to in that way. So he was most definitely disappointed in their evil behavior. But he was also disappointed and had to be disappointed in their jealous hatred. Verse 4 of Genesis 37. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 8. His brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams. Someone says, well, Joseph was asking for it by telling them those dreams. Because just to summarize, those dreams all said that the brothers and that Jacob, that they were all going to bow down to Joseph. That Joseph was going to have rule and dominion over them. And they didn't like that. Would you like it if your younger brother or your younger sister tells you, well, one of these days you're going to be looking up to me. You're going to be depending on me because I'm going to be in charge. Well, that can cause problems in a family. So somebody says, well, you know, maybe he asked for it. But we learn later from the things that Joseph did say that he wasn't saying that to try to antagonize them. He wasn't saying what he did to try to make them angry or to enrage them. He told them because that was a dream that they had. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 tells us that God, that he communicated with man in diverse manners. And one of the manners in which God communicated with man was through dreams. And we read several of those. Genesis 20, verses 3 through 6, Genesis 28, 12, and chapter 31, verse 11, and verse 34, and on and on and on we go. But you know, you've read your Bible. You know that God communicated through dreams. And Joseph, whether he realized it when he was telling his brothers or whether it was later, he understood that God was sending him a message. It is implied that he did not understand until he was in Egypt and realized what was going on, that God was trying to give him this message. So he had to be disappointed in his brethren for their evil hatred. Once again, he wasn't trying to antagonize or enrage them. He was just telling them what he had dreamed. The third thing we find is that Joseph was disappointed undoubtedly in their lack of conscience. In Genesis 37 and verse 18, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. Do you know, jealousy, angry, hatred, envy, all of those things, that's one thing. But murder, that's another. What was the first murder in the Bible? Cain and Abel, right? Brother against brother. What is this? Brothers against brother. The idea that they would want to kill him, and apparently that they had no conscience in so doing. In verse 20, come now therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams. Their hatred had grown. It had bubbled up to the point it was boiling over. They wanted to kill him. But at least Reuben had a twinge of decency. Verse 21, Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." Reuben, out of all of them, at least had a little bit of conscience. He was going to try to save Joseph's life and to take him back. Judah might be complimented for having part in this, but over in verse 26, Judas said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" They've already decided to sell Joseph. And so he's thinking, okay, we'll save him, but what's in it for me? Where is the profit? What shall it profit us? There's nothing to be gained in killing him. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. You ever thought about how many older brothers were there? 10. 20 pieces of silver, 2 pieces for each of the older brothers. That's how it would shake out. As I said before, jealousy is one thing, but murder, doing what they did to Joseph, that is totally a different subject altogether. Genesis 42 and verse 21 tells us something, because we might wonder how Joseph reacted to all of this. Having that coat of many colors that was precious to him because it was given him of his father, having that stripped from his body, and then being sold to these traitors that were coming along. But we have a clue as to how he felt from what his brothers say. They said one to another, "We're very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake not, I told you so," he's going to say. Spake not I unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." Joseph is sold into slavery. The Bible says in Genesis 37 and verse 36 that it was the Midianites who sold them into Egypt. But in Genesis 39 and verse 1, it says that he was bought of the hand of the Ishmaelites. There's no problem there. Midian was the son of Abraham by Keturah, Genesis 25, 1 through 2. And Ishmael was the son of Abraham by Hagar, Genesis 16 and verse 15. And those two tribes lived very close together and were associated with one another. And the Bible uses the terms for both of them interchangeably because they were related and they lived in the same region. And it was possible that all of them were together in that caravan that went through. Judges 8:22, Judges 8:24, Judges 8:26 are all examples of the Bible using these terms interchangeably. So there's no conflict there at all. But then you find Joseph there in Egypt. And the weeks began to pass, and the months, and the years began to pass. And Joseph probably wondered why his father had not come to his rescue. After all, the trade caravans, the one that brought him into Egypt, they passed regularly back and forth to where his father was. Had he looked at all? Did he even care? Was he still alive? All of these questions, they would be answered later. But for the longest time, all of these questions were there. We know something from something that Joseph himself said about how he felt about all of this in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 15. After he had interpreted the dream of the chief butler and the baker, he said this, "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon." Joseph had not given up, but Joseph was obviously frustrated, and understandably so. But as soon as he saw his brothers, Genesis 42 and verse 9, we're told that he remembered the dreams that he had dreamed about them. Whether he understood before this or not, we cannot say, but he understood it then when he saw them. He later reassured them twice that he now knows that everything that had happened had been something that God had planned for a greater purpose. Genesis 45 is one example, verse 4. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, neither angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, that is, five more years that will come. He said, in the which there will be neither earing nor harvest, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me thither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. 22 to 23 years later, after they had done what they did to him, he stood there and looked them in the face and said, don't worry about it. Because I know there was a bigger plan. There was a bigger picture. Does that mean that he had not been disappointed and hurt because of all that had happened to him? No, not at all. But it's that he understood that God was able to work out something great through him because he never lost his faith. In Genesis 15, we read a moment ago, Joseph said, fear not, am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as unto this day to save much people alive. So Joseph had been disappointed in his brothers, but now he understands. Joseph was disappointed in his master's wife. This is Genesis 39, 1 through 10. Time will not allow us to read everything this morning. We're covering about, five, six chapters. But you remember what happened. But the Bible says that Potiphar was a captain of the guard, that he was an officer. To be the captain of a guard means that he was the chief of Pharaoh's protection detail, like being head of the Secret Service. And that he was an executioner. He would do what was necessary to protect Pharaoh. And so Potiphar brings Joseph into his house, and everything starts going right for Potiphar. And Potiphar realizes, hey, you know, it's a good thing to have Joseph here. God is blessing me because of Joseph. And he puts Joseph over everything in his house, except, of course, his wife. But Joseph has the power and authority in his house to take care of whatever needs to be done. And Joseph never let him down. And then Potiphar's wife sees that Joseph is a handsome young man, in his early 20s by now. And she begins to make advances toward him, and Joseph rebukes those advances. And finally she grabs his coat and tries to pull him down, and he runs away and leaves the coat behind. Well, she's not going to allow herself to be humiliated. So she starts screaming, rape, rape, he's trying to rape me. You brought in this Hebrew. Look what he tried to do. Well, there were no other witnesses around, right? Well, what's he going to do? What's Potiphar going to do? Who is he going to believe? There's no indication that he even asked Joseph what happened. After all that Joseph had done for him, as loyal as he had been, telling him the truth, being a trustworthy servant, and you don't even ask my side of the story? And so he cast Joseph into the king's prison. That's why he's there with the chief butler and the baker. In the king's, the place where the king's people, those who had been of greatest defense and who had had official positions within his administration, where they were being kept. But Joseph was disappointed in his master's wife because, after all, who was Potiphar going to believe? But you think about that woman. She had no respect for her husband. She had no respect for Joseph's morals because Joseph kept telling her no. And she had no respect for Joseph's position in the house, the position of authority that had been given there for him. And her accusations would be difficult to deny. That wasn't all, though. Joseph was disappointed in his master, and that was the point I was trying to make, because Joseph had been nothing but a model servant to Potiphar. In Genesis 41 and verse 12, the chief butler identifies Joseph as the servant of the captain of the guard. This is while he's in prison. Notice that. He calls him the servant to the captain of the guard. What that tells us is that Joseph was not only serving Potiphar in the house, but even after he put Joseph into prison, Joseph was serving him in prison. Potiphar did not give up on Joseph. He did what he felt like he had to do, no doubt. And he was enraged when he first heard the story. But undoubtedly later he realized what he had done. And even though Joseph had to stay there, he put Joseph in a position where he could serve as well. But Joseph was not only disappointed in his master's wife and not only disappointed in his master, even though he had been promoted in prison, but he was also disappointed in the chief butler. So the chief butler and the baker come to Joseph and they've had these dreams. They both had dreams the same night. Come to Joseph to interpret them. And Joseph interprets the chief butler's dream that you're going to be restored to your position. You're going to bring wine to Pharaoh once more. He tells the butler, in 3 days, you're going to be hanged and the birds are going to come and eat your flesh. And so Joseph told the chief butler, when you are restored to Pharaoh, remember me. Remind him that I'm here and that I've done nothing wrong. Remember me to Pharaoh. So the chief butler, and it was 3 days later. 3 days later, just as Joseph had prophesied, the chief butler is restored to his place with Pharaoh. And it was Pharaoh's birthday. And the baker, no, he's hanged. And the birds ate his flesh, just like Joseph. When the chief butler saw that, how could he possibly forget? Wait a minute. He told me I was going to be restored. He was going to be hanged. And there he is. He's been hung. But he forgot. How often does that happen? We're so overwhelmed and consumed with self-interest that we forget the things that are necessary for other people. But this was a big one. This was a big one. And so the chief butler forgot. You remember how long he forgot? For 2 years. 2 years. If you would have been Joseph, would you have been frustrated with that? You know you would have been. And no doubt this had to be disappointing to him, being disappointed in the chief butler for forgetting about him for 2 years. The scripture is Genesis 41 and verse 1. How did he overcome? He overcame through the faith that he had, because in spite of every circumstance in which he found himself, some of them deplorable circumstances, God blessed him and God advanced him and God gave him the respect of those who were over him. When he asked the question of Potiphar's wife, he said, how can I do this and sin against God? It lets us know that he knew that adultery was sin and he knew that it would be sinning against God because it was God's law that he would be violating. We know that he didn't lose his faith because of that statement. In Genesis 41 and verse 16, we read about the fact that he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and he didn't take credit for it. He gave credit to God, which tells us of his great faith. He was not only able to overcome disappointment, but he came to be one of the greatest deliverers. I know Moses led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, but you look what Joseph did. He saved a nation from famine and from death. Because of starvation. Well, if you looked at the title in the bulletin, you'll see Dealing with Disappointment, Joseph and Jesus. Why is that? Because Joseph was a type of Jesus. What does that mean? That in the life of Joseph, we see many things that were fulfilled in a different way, in a spiritual way, some of them in a physical way, in Jesus. He was the shadow of that which was to come. How is that the case? Well, Joseph's earthly brothers, did they believe his dreams? No. They didn't believe in his dreams. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe that he was anything but a tattletale, a nuisance, an aggravation. What about Jesus in John chapter 7 and verse 5? What does the Bible say about his brethren? They did not believe in him. Neither one of them, their brethren. In fact, in the case of Jesus, according to John 1 and verse 11, the entire nation did not believe in him. Jesus was sometimes disappointed in his disciples, like Joseph was disappointed in his brothers. When was Jesus disappointed in his disciples? Well, you know, one time was when he was asleep in the back of the boat. Matthew 8 and verse 26, there was a great storm and Jesus was asleep and they thought they were going to die. How could they think they were going to die when Jesus was there? And that's basically what he asked them. The time when Peter wanted to come walking to Jesus on the water, Mark 14 and verse 31, and then Peter began to look at the waves and he began to notice the wind and he began to sink and Jesus had to reach out and grab his hand. Oh, ye of little faith. How many times do we hear that? Jesus disappointed. Jesus was disappointed in the multitudes in John chapter 6 because their only focus was material gain. Jesus, you fed us out here. Feed us again. We want the food that you give. Does that ever happen to us? We're going to have a get-together. There's going to be food. Well, we won't go on a day when there's not food, but if there's going to be food, hey, well, let me go. Jesus said, you're looking for the bread that will feed the body, but you ought to be looking for the bread that feeds the soul. Jesus was disappointed in them. Thousands of people turned away from him that day because they wanted a good meal. They wanted another good meal is the right way to say that. Jesus was disappointed with his closest friends, Peter, James, and John in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40. They could not even stay awake while Jesus was praying in great agony. There are some close comparisons in Scripture between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph's brothers delivered him up for envy. The Jews delivered Jesus up for envy, Matthew 27, 18. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was stripped of his raiment. Jesus was stripped of his garments, and lots were cast for his coat, according to Matthew 27, 35. Joseph's brethren thought that they had gotten rid of him when they sold him, and went back and let his father believe for all of those years, for 22 to 23 years, to believe that his son was dead. They thought they had gotten rid of him, but they had to face him again when they went to Egypt, and when they realized who he was, they were terrified. And a lesser person would have taken advantage of them, but Joseph didn't. The Jews thought they had gotten rid of Jesus when they crucified him, but they had to face him again when he was raised from the dead. Joseph's brothers lied about what had happened to him. But the enemies of Jesus also paid the soldiers to lie about his resurrection. Joseph overcame temptation. Jesus overcame temptation. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Joseph became ruler in Egypt and forgave his brethren. Jesus ascended to heaven, and while even on the cross, he prayed that the Father would forgive those who had crucified him and mocked him and had hurt him so badly. On the day of Pentecost, that prayer was answered. Because when Peter preached the sermon and told them that you with wicked hands, you have killed him. It's on you. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Obviously, they had not been forgiven from that prayer at the cross at that point in time from the cross. But here's that prayer being answered. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If you want to know what to do, you change your ways and you be immersed in water. The result of that was that the Lord added them to the church. But why did they do that? Jesus became a ruler. Jesus offered forgiveness, just like Joseph offered forgiveness for his brethren. Both offered something better to those who believed in them. Joseph became ruler of Egypt, and they received the land of Goshen, which was the best in the land, and ultimately they would go to the land of promise. But Jesus offers us heaven. He offers it to anyone that will come to him. Joseph and Jesus both dealt with disappointment, a lot of disappointment in their lives. But they both overcame. Jesus continually prayed to the Father. He told his disciples, the Father and I are one. I don't know why he endured all that he did. Yes, I do. The Bible tells us why. It's because he loved us. But it's hard to imagine that he would take what he did. It's hard to imagine that Joseph would take what he did and maintain his integrity, but he did. What are the takeaways? Joseph had to adjust to a new reality more than once in his life. It was a harsh reality, but he did it to serve a higher purpose. He knew that doing God's will was more important than any circumstances that he had to endure. Jesus humbled himself into a harsh new reality to leave heaven, Philippians 2, to come to this earth, to go through the cross, to the cross, to go through all of that suffering and to do it for us. Joseph was able to let go of the past and to forgive in the present. Jesus was able to let go of what those people at the cross had done to him and to offer them and us salvation. Joseph was able to see God's purpose in his life. It took a while, and it might take anyone a while. But the Bible says in Genesis 41, verse 50, "Unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipherah, the priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." He didn't deny that it was tough. He didn't deny that he had been afflicted. But he said because of those precious children and because he had prospered in Potiphar's house, even in the prison, and that he had prospered in the presence of Pharaoh himself, second in command over all of Egypt, Joseph said, "God's made me to forget. I'm enjoying my blessings where I am." Isn't that something that will help us to get over disappointment, to enjoy the blessings that we have today while we have them? To enjoy the blessings in the place where we have? Not that everything's perfect. Nothing ever will be. We're human. But to enjoy the blessings that we have and to allow ourselves to be used by God to accomplish a greater good so that souls might be saved. Yes, Joseph and Jesus dealt with disappointment through faith. They both saw God's promise in their lives, and we can too. God can work through your life if you'll let Him. First, by becoming a Christian, by repenting of sin, like Peter told those on Pentecost, being baptized into Christ, confessing your faith before men, and then by living the Christian life, to being the example that we need to be an example, a pillar of faith like Joseph was, so people can observe that, and so they'll be motivated to enjoy the happiness that we have, and to be motivated by the promise that God has given all. If that's something that you don't have, you can change that. Dealing with disappointment, whatever your disappointment this morning, let God turn it into a blessing. Would you come as we stand and as we sing? I am